Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Three oh five, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Tuesday afternoon. Plenty of sunshine right around that 80-degree mark. This Tavares Floyd must have really torqued somebody, don't you think? Tavares Floyd is running for Richmond City Council. Oh, now I just think it's hysterical. I'm going to make myself some more popcorn for any number of reasons. Number one, I don't really care who's on the Richmond City Council, except for Reba Trammell. Reba's actually done a great job. But the rest of the assorted yahoos down there, I mean, have at it. You've already destroyed the city to such a great extent. I mean, really. How many more people are left for you to actually chase out of the boundaries of the city of Richmond? I mean, you're doing a hell of a job. Make no mistake about it. Great work. But so this Tavares Floyd, first, he's getting knocked because he's not George Floyd's cousin. I'm thinking I would put right at the top of my resume, not George Floyd's cousin. You know how I love the Morrisseys, right? Emily Morrissey. Nobody better than Emily Morrissey. I'm just going to state that for the record. Perfect. Most delightful human being you're ever going to meet. But Emily Morrissey, her brother PJ Morrissey, her folks are really good people. Dan and Krista Morrissey, 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 Morrissey. If I were them, I would get T-shirts that read, not related to Joe Morrissey. I would just start with people that I don't want to be confused with. So if I'm this Tavares Floyd, is he telling people he's George Floyd's cousin? Or is he saying, hey, whoa, not related? But now the left-wing media, I know I'm repeating myself, but the legacy left-wing media, like the NPR types, never play that while you're driving, by the way. It's just a safety tip from your friendly old Uncle Jeff, because what happens is you fall asleep and then you cause an accident and then, you know, good people get injured, so don't do it. But they are all in a twist because this Tavares Floyd says he's a lawyer and they say he's not a lawyer. And I go back to my first position, which is, who gives a crap? I mean, honest to God, who cares? It's 2024, public taxpayer radio. It's 2024. He's allowed to identify as a lawyer. I don't care if he has a law license or not. It is 2024. How dare you judge him on his self-proclaimed identification? If he identifies as a lawyer, by God, he's a lawyer. And there's not a doggone thing you or I or anyone else should be able to say about that. Period. End of story. If he identifies as George Floyd's cousin, then you know what? He is George Floyd's cousin. That's all. You think he's related to Uncle Floyd? That old North Jersey TV show? Remember Uncle Floyd? Did it ever make it down here? I don't know. I'm going to have to see if I can pull some old video of it. Floyd Vivano, I think, was the guy's name. And he was anything that you can imagine, but late night, low budget, minimal production standard television. And it was great. It was great back in the day. I think it was Channel 9 out of, technically, I think it's out of Newark, WOR. But anyway, he can identify as a lawyer, can he? I say that he can. They're just investing a whole slew of our taxpayer dollars to go and investigate this further. We can't find any record of him ever being in any law directory anywhere. Who cares? You know, if he were running for a position as, I don't know, a Commonwealth's attorney, where being an actual attorney was a requirement, maybe, right? But he's running to be a city councilman in the city of Richmond. Oh, by the way, he actually has a law degree. Well, doesn't that make him a lawyer then? Because that's his argument. His argument is, hey, I went to law school. I have a law degree. Therefore, I am a lawyer. Okay. Their argument is, obviously, this guy pissed off somebody that they love, and they're just going after him like a fly following a dog, you know? They're just all over it. And I don't get it. I don't get it. But what can I tell you? It'll be interesting. He's not licensed to practice law in the Commonwealth. Okay. You know, there are all sorts of people who go and get law degrees and never work as lawyers. Lobbyists? Seriously, go to K Street up in D.C. Those beautiful buildings are filled with people who have law degrees who never, ever, ever worked on a single solitary legal matter in their entire professional career. Ever. And they never will. They don't want to. Members of Congress. A whole slew of them have law degrees. They're not lawyers. Not working lawyers, but they're lawyers. Why? Well, because in some places it's almost like the cover charge, like the cost of admission. You must be this tall to ride this ride. You must have this degree to play in this part of our society. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I didn't even know the guy was running for city council in Richmond because, again, I don't live in the city of Richmond. I go into the city of Richmond when necessary. I weep silently just a little bit as I drive places thinking, huh, you know, that used to be there. Or, wow, that used to be there. Or, you know, nobody used to be over there. But they've succeeded in chasing so many people out of the city that I guess this is what we're left with here. I would share this story, but it's like so bad it won't even stick to the Facebook page. So you're going to have to find it on your own. Honestly, it's weird. Kevin Sorbo is going to be with us in about 20 minutes or so. Kevin is coming to town for the Virginia Council. That is tomorrow evening. At last I checked with John Reed, there are still some tickets available. So if you've been on the fence, and this is something that you and I both know about Richmond and Central Virginia, we're last minute ticket purchasers, right? We're all walk up to the window, get to the door when the show opens sort of people. So if you've been just kind of sitting back and thinking, huh, I wonder if I should go see Kevin Sorbo. Well, tomorrow's the day and they're just about all sold out. So I would say yes. Yes, you should. You go to thevirginiacouncil.org, thevirginiacouncil.org, and get your tickets there. So Kevin's going to be with us at 3:35. It's interesting. He was on a podcast earlier this morning with my buddy Brian Talley out of Dallas, Texas. Brian, you may or may not recall the Talley bill. Our former member of Congress, Dave Bratt, took point on that. Brian Talley was victimized. That's the only way I can describe it. Victimized by a contract doctor at the Veterans Administration and left him so screwed up. And he's going to be in pain for the rest of his life. It's one of those weird things. When you deal with pain for your entire life, you find other people who are dealing with pain. Right? Like I just had to refill yet another prescription. You look at my bathroom, man. It looks like the warehouse at CVS, for God's sakes, with pills and all this other stuff. Because it is what it is, right? You are sort of confined to or consigned to dealing with this issue, that issue. All right, so these are our issues. So Brian and I kind of bonded over that. I mean, he's been through much worse, believe me. But he wanted to get some sort of address to the issue, right? He wasn't looking for big money. He wasn't going to get big money. Can't sue the VA. And up until the legislation went through, the Talley bill, which Dave Bratt carried in the House and President Trump signed, until that went through, you couldn't even go after the contract doctors. Anyway, long story short, Brian now has a great podcast, Talley Man. And Kevin Sorbo was on with him earlier today. So Brian was all excited, man. He texted me, hey, you're never going to believe it was on my show today. Blah, blah, blah. Look at this. And it's Kevin Sorbo. And he sent me a little snippet of Kevin Sorbo saying, oh, Jeff Katz. Okay. Like he has no idea who I am. So it'll be very interesting at 3:35 when we chat. I'm hoping he will have, or unless we'll let him know what's going on. But you want to get your tickets. Take my word on that. It is Tuesday. We're going to talk a little tech, how to stay safe online. We got the whole Wi-Fi security issue. Craig Peterson's going to be along. And we got two great community issues. Two folks who are very near and dear to me. I think the world of both of them, each of them, and to situations that mean a lot to me. 505, our good friend, Dr. Sarah Cransement. She's the executive director over at the Friendship Circle of Virginia. They've got the annual walk and roll coming up in a couple of weeks, and she's going to let us know what's involved with that. I did learn, by the way, yesterday that my pal Emily Morrissey and Emily's Bracelets, they're going to be represented at the walk and roll. So that's another reason why you ought to go. And then at 5:35, Chris Gumenez is going to be with us. Chris is the assistant special agent in charge of the Richmond District Office for the DEA, Drug Enforcement Administration. They've got a big drug take back day. It's happening this Saturday. So Chris is going to be along to talk about that. Also, finally, before I run out of breath air, folks have been asking about heat for the holler. That is my buddy Luke Scott, the effort that he is spearheading. It's his idea, man. He just came up with it, and it's brilliant. I did list on all the social media how you can help Luke get these heaters and the propane down to these folks in Western North Carolina who are facing some very, very chilly nights and real cold weather coming very soon for them, and they don't have any means to heat their shelter. So I do have it up on social media, but what we're going to do, it's not going to be this week, but next week, Germ, I think we're getting him on again to talk a little bit about. It's not going to be this week, that much I know. That much I know, because tomorrow we got plenty of stuff, and then Thursday and Friday, I'm actually going to be out of town. I probably shouldn't say that, but I have a big speaking engagement out in Chicago. I'm very, very excited about that. And don't get all excited. Hanover County Sheriff's Office has already been notified. There'll be troops stationed at all the entrances to Cassacat, so get no ideas about that. All right, came across a bizarre article in Forbes. I'm going to share that with you momentarily. It is 3:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 3:22, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA, Tuesday afternoon. We've got our Chronic Care of Richmond text line available to you, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. 804 says, Jeff, I love Uncle Floyd. He was on the New Jersey Network up in New Jersey. Here's the theme song. Hey, Germ, if you want to jump on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140. They've got the theme song for Uncle Floyd. Yeah, there you go. I will tell you that I would be willing to bet. I don't know this for sure, but I'd be willing to bet that Jeremy had already found it and has it loaded and ready to go. 804 says, hey, Jeff, my nephew called me this weekend. He lives in Charlotte. Asked me if it's true there are no longer any monuments in Richmond, Virginia. They were planning to come here and see the city. What a legacy that's been created, huh? Yeah, it's amazing to me. Absolutely amazing. The dumbest series of events you could ever, ever even begin to imagine. 804, Jeff, John Stewart had another moment of truth when he called out to Tampon Tim Walz for loving the Cheneys. Yeah, gang, if you hate the Iraq War and you hate all of the other, quote, war stuff that's going on, why are you now hanging out with Liz Cheney? Why? Because she hates Trump just like you do? Well, that's pathetic. She's pathetic. But if Kamala Harris wins, Liz Cheney's going to be your Secretary of Defense, just so you know. Mike says, Jeff, isn't it sad that there are those who think so little of themselves that they cannot trust their own abilities or lack thereof? Yeah. Yeah, you have to be honest with yourself. That's the deal, right? That's the reality for most of us. Here's what I know how to do. Here's what I don't know how to do. Do I want to learn more about the stuff I don't know how to do? Are there people I can hire to do what I need done since I can't do it? Can I share what I know with other people? Those are questions decent people ask themselves. Other people just wallow. I can't do that. I don't have any money. Oh, I wasted my money. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do that. All right, well, you're going to be miserable. What can I tell you? Enjoy your miserableness. I got a great package a little bit earlier today. I opened the mailbox, and it was from my friend Emily Morrissey. Oh, let me tell you something. I've got a couple of brand new Emily's bracelets for Halloween. And even more importantly than that, this beautiful picture that Emily drew. Emily is quite the talented artist. So I didn't have a chance to put that up earlier today, and I do apologize. But I will absolutely be sharing that with you. Now, I mentioned the Forbes folks. Forbes has a whole piece today. Forbes! Whole piece about McDonald's. Why are the people paying attention to McDonald's? What do McDonald's workers mean to the upcoming election? There are people who got together and said, well, you know, he didn't do the right work with the fries. He put too many fries in the bag. Oh, shut up. I mean, he wasn't supersizing. He was magasizing. And when you magasize your fries, that's what it is. All right? Yeah. There it is. There it is. Magasizing your fries. So that's pretty good stuff. Why are we upset about that? I don't know. All right, Kevin Sorbo is going to be along in a couple of moments here. How tough is it to be a conservative in Hollywood? Yikes. 326, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 335, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. How insane is that, that a federal judge siding with those who want illegal aliens to vote here in our beloved Commonwealth? It's insanity. Governor Youngkin and Attorney General Meares simply enforcing a law that's been on the books. It was signed into law, I'm going to remind you, by Tiny Tim Kaine when he was governor, right? No question about his party affiliation. He's a good, upstanding Democrat, and he enforced that law. Ralph Northam, remember him? He enforced the law. It was all fine until it's Governor Youngkin who decides to enforce the law. So, I don't know. It's craziness. But if things go the way they're supposed to go, we're 14 days away from this whole thing. And it's amazing to me. Kamala Harris took the day off. Donald Trump is really, he's tired. He's out of shape. I'm taking the whole day off 2 weeks before the election to, quote, prepare for an interview. I guess that means she's going to be running lines with one of her writers and trying to figure out if they can salvage this pathetic thing. It's just awful. Anyway, that's the bad news. The good news is that Kevin Sorbo is coming to town. He's going to be right here in Central Virginia tomorrow evening. My friends over there at the Virginia Council are bringing him in. It's a beautiful venue. If you've not been to one.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
One of their events before in their speaker series, boy, you got to do it. And Kevin has fought the good fight, I would say, a man of faith and a conservative trying to make his way in Hollywood. Kevin, thank you for being here.
My pleasure. It's good to be here. We got a fight in our hands, and we all know it. And people better get out and vote, because trust me, those guys are very good at cheating that voter thing. So we got to fight back in a hard way.
There's no doubt about that. It was tough to me. Here I am. I'm preparing for you to chat with you. I've been a fan of your work for a long time. I didn't realize it's now like 10 years since God's Not Dead came out. Is that right?
That's true. It's 10 years ago right about now. But, you know, since then I've shot close to about 60 movies. So you guys have catching up to do. I've done 90 movies in my life. And I had two just out last year. I directed two of them that were in theaters last year. One's called Left Behind, Rise of the Antichrist, based on the Jerry Jenkins, Tim LaHaye Left Behind books. And then the other one's called Miracle in East Texas, true story set in 1930 with the largest oil find in the history of the world. I highly recommend it, and I'm going to get it in sorbostudios.com. Please go to sorbostudios.com and sign up.
We are not going to have to pull out of you a selfless plug, are we? No, you go for it, man. Sorbostudios.com.
No.
I love it.
Well, you know what? I do movies that Hollywood used to do. I do movies that have hope and love and faith and redemption and laughter. Hollywood doesn't do that anymore, as you know. Yeah. Disney took a $1.4 billion loss last year with their woke crap, and people are tired of it. People want to see movies like what I'm doing, because I do movies that Hollywood used to do with good messages in there. And but we got to fight Hollywood, because they do $300 million movies with $100 million advertising budget. I do them $3-4 million range. So we got a battle on our hands.
So explain to me why it is that Hollywood has just absolutely pooped the bed. Because it would seem to me, if you are, you're in the business of making movies, you're looking for great films, you want to put rear ends in seats, in theaters, you want to make money, right? They're not in some sort of charitable business. Has it not occurred to anybody on the business end in Hollywood that gosh, we're just wasting a lot of money with this garbage?
You know what? I did a movie that I directed about, it came out in 2018. It was funded by Sean Hannity. It's called Let There Be Light.
Yes.
It's a wonderful movie. It opened number two. Here's a $2.3 million budget. Opens up number two, per screen average, against Thor Ragnarok, a $300 million movie with a $100 million advertising budget. I get a call from Netflix after the opening weekend on Monday. They say, hey, we see you have a foot in this inspirational world. We want to open an inspirational division right here at Netflix, and we want you to run it. So I have four meetings with them in their Hollywood offices over the next 4 months. And ultimately, they did nothing. My last meeting with them, I looked at them, and I realized this was all just BS. I said, you guys, there's 80 million homes that want the kind of movies that I do. And yet, you guys, you're in a capitalist business. You pretend behind closed door, in the open. Oh, we're for socialism and all that. Yeah. No, they're not. They're in the business to make money. Netflix is pretty profitable place, and it's capitalism that made them that. Why are they? Their ideology is so skewed and so insane and so brainwashed. But I could tell half the people in that room were agreeing with me, but they kept their mouths shut because they know they'll lose their jobs if they open their mouth.
Wow. You know, I don't know whether to look at those people and say, gosh, I feel sorry for you or I'm angry at you. Are they cowards or are they just thinking, man, I got to pay the bills. I got kids in school. What am I going to do?
They're cowards. And they're cowards. Look, every movie I've been doing, I shoot about three or four movies a year easily the last 6-7 years. Yeah. And every movie I do, people come up to me like we're doing a drug deal and say quietly, hey, thanks for being a voice for us. And I go, be a voice for yourself. Stop being the sheep out there, but they're all afraid that, you know, I got blacklisted. Hollywood booted me out 10 years ago before the cancel culture was even a term. And I formed several studios. We've been doing our own thing since. I love the business. I love the industry. I just don't like the politics of it. And I don't like the insanity that it's become. Because as you know, same thing in Washington, D.C., they openly lie, blatantly lie. There's hypocrisy where they wear in their sleeves and they don't care anymore.
Well, number one, let me remind everybody, SorboStudios.com is where they need to go to check out some of Kevin's work. I mean, great stuff there. But you say you got canceled 10 years ago, even before this whole cancel culture, the woke nonsense had really taken root. Was it just that they looked at you and said, you know what, Kevin, you're a man of faith. We don't want to talk to you. We just don't want to hear it anymore. Go away. Or was there something else? Were they open about it when they kicked you out?
Yeah, you know what, my manager and agent, who live on opposite sides of the hills there, one's in Studio City, the other one's in Beverly Hills, okay. They call me in to come talk at one of the offices. They never get together. So I go, this is an intervention of sorts. And they said, we can't work with you anymore. The studios don't want to work with you because of your point of view on social media. I go, oh, you mean my point of view of telling the truth? And they said, yeah. They go, Kevin, they were great to me. I'm not bashing them. Yeah. They just said, I'll tell you what, the winds are changing very quickly here. Because it was always known I was a Christian and a conservative in Hollywood. I've been out there since 1986.
Right.
I mean, besides the movies, I mean, Hercules was the most watched TV show in the world in 176 countries. I shot that for 7 years, and Andromeda for 5 years, the first show Gene Roddenberry created. So they knew where I stood, but they said, we just can't do it. So I formed my own company because I still love being on the set. It's still a passion for me. It's been that way since I was a kid.
Why is it that I can count probably on one hand the number of people like you, like Kirk Cameron, one or two others that are open about it and said, look, I've got money in the bank, I guess. You know, I don't necessarily have to worry about getting that huge deal from Hollywood. I'm gonna do this. Are they hiding, or are they also saying, I can't afford to take a stand?
You know, there's more out there. Clint Eastwood's been very forward for years, but he's just too big to get rid of because he's such an amazing force. And you got Dennis Quaid now, who's been very vocal about it. He and I worked on the Reagan movie together, which is out streaming right now. And then you got Dennis Miller, you got John Voight, you got all these people. You look at John Voight and Dennis Miller, they said, look, I was a Democrat, but the party left me. I didn't leave it. And that's pretty much, if you want to go back to Reagan, that's what happened to him.
Yeah.
And, you know, Hollywood, for the most part, was pretty conservative back when they first started in the 1920s and 30s. It was really the 1950s and 60s where things started to change. And it's amazing to me. I think there's plenty of people out there. The gays used to be in the closet in Hollywood. Now it's the Christian conservatives in the closet. But
It's crazy. It's Kevin Sorbo joining us. So make sure you're visiting sorbostudios.com. Kevin is actually going to be in town tomorrow for the Virginia Council. I just checked. There are a handful of tickets left. You want to go and get those tickets at thevirginiacouncil.org. So, Kevin, you get called on to make God's Not Dead. And I go back to that. I know it's 10 years ago, and I know you've made a number of films since that, great films. But that's the one that was, for me, was sort of a wake-up call. Because, you know, I thought, well, I go to the movies, I see things I like, and then I started realizing, geez, there's a lot of crap coming out that I don't want to go to. I certainly wouldn't take my kids to. So God's Not Dead comes out, and that's just like planting the flag and saying, okay, boys, it's on.
Yeah. Oh, no question. I did a movie 2 years earlier with the same company, PureFlix. Same writers. It's called What If. It was directed by Dallas Jenkins, who's doing a little thing called The Chosen right now, which is huge around the world. And when we did God's Not Dead, we knew we had something really good. Personally, I think What If is a better movie, but that's the problem, as I mentioned earlier, about getting promotional advertising out on wonderful movies. But God's Not Dead, $2 million budget. $2 million. We worked for nothing on the movie. People don't realize $2 to $3 million, that's maybe catering budget in Pirates of the Caribbean, okay? So, but this little movie made $140 million. And it was all word of mouth. I mean, it's a wonderful movie. And that really solidified for me that I want to do movies like that. Don't necessarily have to be faith-based movies, yeah, but I wanted to do movies that are family-friendly, movies that have better messages. Because I go to these Spider-Man or all these movies, it's 90% visual effects. They're fun to watch. It's a roller coaster ride, but there's no, you don't have any connection with the characters because they're not real.
Right.
And, you know, I like doing movies that I call actors' movies, where you got stories about people that people can relate to that are watching that movie.
How difficult was it for you to play that atheist college professor? Was it just the most difficult job you ever had, or were you thinking, well, I know how this ends, so I'm okay?
Well, that's part of it right there. But
yeah.
I'm an actor, number one, but number two, I know people like that. And I saw people like that on CNN, that there's actually presidents of atheist clubs. They go to the trouble of starting a rally about something they don't believe in. It's quite odd. I don't believe in I don't believe in broccoli, but I don't hold a rally for it. So it's just weird out there what people are doing. But I'm going to keep fighting on, man.
Well, I love it. So tell me a little bit about some of the work you've got going on now. Obviously, you're coming to town right here in Central Virginia tomorrow for the Virginia Council, and there are a handful of tickets left. Just so you know, Kevin, I just checked with the guys over there. Handful of tickets left. They go to the virginiacouncil.org. But you were on a little bit earlier today on a podcast with a buddy of mine out of Dallas, Brian Talley, who's got an amazing story. And now that I got you here, you should make a movie about him. You want to talk about a great story. But what are some of the projects you're looking at now moving forward?
Well, I've got, like I said, the Reagan movie is out streaming right now. I got another movie that just started streaming that I shot with Cuba Gooding Jr. It's called The Firing Squad. It's a true story set in an Indonesian prison.
Okay.
And then I've got three documentaries coming out early next year until Easter. One of them leading that way is dealing with The Last Supper. It's called Eating with the Enemy. And I've done about 12 documentaries now, and it's phenomenal. And then I've got... I got three movies in post-production right now. One we shot in Greensboro, North Carolina. It's called Another Life, true story, and a gentleman that was born deaf and was able to finally be able to hear through science, and he became a mortician / comedian, stand-up comedian, true story. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful story.
You know,
and
the jokes are writing themselves about killing at that performance. I can't know. I'm not going there, but wow, what a combination, dude.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then I just signed a 6-picture deal with a funder out of Georgia. He's a man of faith, conservative, and he loves the movies I do. So I'll be directing and starring in two movies a year over the next 3 years. We're going to start filming the first one coming up here in February.
I love that. Now, are most of these going to be available to us via sorbostudios.com? Do you have releases around the country?
Well, eventually we're going to release some theatrically first. I mean,
okay.
You know, not as many people go to theater anymore because COVID kind of put an end to that because people got tired of it. But they're starting to pick up again, obviously. But anytime you can get any movie in the theaters, even for a weekend, it's got a cachet that makes it worthwhile, especially for Netflix and Amazon to want to pick it up. So all these, you know, are targeted for certainly theatrical releases.
You have any hope at all with the new, chairman of the board and CEO? They just named him, I think, yesterday, two different guys for Disney. Any hope that they'll fix things?
No, I don't. I honestly think they took a $1.4 billion loss, but here's the conspiracy theorist in me again. Right. I think that our tax dollars are going underneath the country from Washington, D.C. into the coffers over there at Disney, where they say, hey, you keep promoting this. It's like, no, look, if you look at Roe v. Wade, when that thing passed 50 years ago, there was a big fight to get rid of it for about 3 or 4 years. But when you beat people over the head long enough, pretty soon it just becomes normal. So we've killed 65 million human beings in our country since Roe v. Wade. And, you know, and then you got somebody like Schumer and all those other guys and Clinton recently. I thought, we need to make all these illegal aliens, we need to get them in the workforce, we need to make them citizens right now, because they just want to vote in more of a voting block for them. But the reality is, you guys have killed off the American workforce through abortion. So it's bizarre to me.
I'll tell you, it's twisted, and it for on a personal basis, and you don't know me from Adam, and that's okay, Kevin, but I'm going to bug you tomorrow at the Virginia Council event. But, you know, my daughter is severely disabled, 22 years old, chronologically, developmentally 18 months old, and there comes a point when you deal with that, you can go one way or the other. You can say, oh my gosh, you know what, God stinks, look what's happened to this, that's it, I'm like hardcore atheist, or you say, okay, this is a really heavy lift. I don't know that I'm up to this, God, but okay. And I'm telling you, you see someone like my Julia, who's never said a word, Kevin, never said a word, right? I sit here, I blab all day, hours a week. She has touched more people never saying a word than I will with a million words. And those are the stories that I think are so important, the stories you're sharing about people just coming to that T in the road and saying, all right, I got it, I can go left or I can go right, but I got to make the right choice. Somehow we got to do it. And you're giving them the sort of the mental ammunition to do that.
Oh, no question. Look, when I speak tomorrow, I'm going to speak a little bit of my own story. Obviously, I didn't have to go through what you're going through with your daughter, but I went through my own illness. It took me 3 years to fully recover, and I easily could have died from it. So to me, it's like, okay, as my wife said, Kevin, this happened to you. What are you going to do about it? So, you know, what happened to you with your daughter, it's like, okay, this happened. What are you going to do about it? God never promised any of us an easy life. And you got to find a reason why this was a gift. In some way, this was a gift. And you have to find that out, because if you don't find it out, you're going to drive yourself absolutely insane.
Absolutely. Boy, I am so excited about you coming to town. And your wife sounds a little bit like my wife. Okay, yeah, that's what happened. Now what are you going to do? You know, rub some dirt on it, dude. Take a lap, get back in the game. And I'm just excited that you're coming to town. And on behalf of everybody here in Central Virginia, we appreciate it. We really do. We appreciate you making some time for us. It's going to be a great event tomorrow.
I'm looking forward to it. I hope people I'll have some books to sign afterwards as well, and hopefully, you know, I think we're doing a little Q&A as well.
Yeah, I know there's a little Q&A, there's a VIP reception beforehand, and I hope you will not be offended, but I'm going to be like a total dorky fan when I go, hey, Kevin, can I have a picture? But I really do. I want a picture with you, because I love what you're doing, brother. I really do.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
It takes a lot of courage, a lot of integrity. Kevin Sorbo, thank you for being here, my friend. SorboStudios.com, SorboStudios.com. You should go there. Seriously, go there right now. Take a look at some of Kevin's stuff. Tomorrow night, you need to be at the Virginia Council event. It's going to be right in Glen Allen. I'm telling you now, because I've been to a couple of things over there, it is a beautiful event. I don't think John Reed or the Virginia Council could have found a better location. It's just perfect. And to have a guy like Kevin Sorbo, who's made, I don't know, 100 movies, whatever it is, it's amazing. And to live the life he's lived and to be willing to take the stands that he takes, whew, that's a good dude. And tomorrow night, he's going to be in town for the Virginia Council. They do have some tickets available. Again, I just checked, I don't know, an hour ago, 2 hours ago, whatever it was, thevirginiacouncil.org, thevirginiacouncil.org. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.